Welcome to Financial Frameworks. Financial Frameworks' goal is to increase your financial decision-making skills by building on what you already know, increasing your understanding of your own decision-making traits, and by providing solid fundamental concepts for you to use. Today's podcast continues my discussion of what, for me, are the hardest tasks in value investing. The previous three podcasts addressed number one, figuring out a margin of safety, two, sorting through all of the information and reviewing my decision-making process to know when I can trust my judgment to make a solid decision, and then number three, committing to the decision as a separate step from the analysis. Today, I'm focusing on my fourth big recurring challenge when making an investment decision, that is, passing on something that is close but doesn't quite meet my criteria. I should be clear about why I'm presenting this hurdle last in my list. The first three were presented in a chronological order of how I look at things. Margin of safety first, general research, followed by a more refined search process, and then finally making the commitment. All of those tasks are important to me, and that's my batting order. However, this fourth task can happen anytime, early in the process, somewhere in the middle, anytime that you or I find a piece of information that eliminates the prospective investment from consideration by not meeting criteria. By presenting this hurdle after the other three tasks, I don't mean to suggest that figuring out that an investment is close, but not quite measuring up, occurs after all of the other research and decision-making tasks. It is certainly not the case that a standard routine for a person is to do a lot of research and assessment and then pass on the investment at the conclusion of the work. Remember, we're talking about an investment that meets many criteria and is close to meeting your objectives, but doesn't quite make it. As I said, passing on an investment can happen at any time. Early in the research, halfway through the process, or late in the game after having acquired a lot of information, but then discovering a fatal flaw, for our purposes, that makes it unworthy of investment. In fact, it's better to find a disqualifying piece of information as early as possible in your research so that you can get on to the next candidate. That's what I do. Again, remember, we're talking about an investment that is close but doesn't finally meet the requirements. So let's do this by walking through an example of considering a stock that highlights this close to meeting the criteria situation, and we'll use my criteria for investment selection, and then we can look at how it could work for you. Let's assume that 2 to 3 hours of research have occurred, maybe less, but we'll assume that, and that I've covered the fundamental objectives regarding margin of safety, number two, current operating earnings, and now we're on to assessing how earnings will grow in the future. We've done a preliminary pass, and we think that there will be future growth there, but we want to look at this in more detail because we know that projecting how earnings will grow requires more assumptions and judgments than looking at historical data. I've outlined how looking at future earnings can be done in greater detail in Financial Frameworks Podcast 31 and in Blog 4, also on finframeworks.com. The example we'll use today is Ford Motor Company. Ford's a very interesting company. It has a lot of things going on right now, so let's take a look at it. On the margin of safety, Ford's current assets exceed their current liabilities by 20%. That's pretty good for me. It's not the Benjamin Graham desired formula of current assets greater than all liabilities, but current assets versus current liabilities works for me in the case of Ford. Ford's 2023 operating revenues are higher than analysts' anticipated revenues, and they show a net operating revenue stream of over $4 billion. So that takes care of current earnings for my purposes. Now on to growth in earnings. My original reason for considering purchase of Ford stock was the near-term anticipated success of their electronic trucks. Ford has touted their development of these trucks, and there is reason to believe that Ford's guidance based on the long-term popularity and leadership of Ford in the truck market, particularly the Ford F-150, will carry over to electronic trucks. The thinking is that Ford should get a large portion of the EV truck market because of their existing market share, because of their reputation, and because of the large capital investment that they have already made. Over the last several years, they have committed a lot of resources to EV trucks. It's a given that electronic vehicles are not going away and will only increase in number and potential profitability for the company that gets the genie out of the bottle first. What is unknown, however, is how soon and how fast the EV truck market will develop. So my next step is to look at Ford's most recent official forward-looking statements, which contain positive observations about their competitive moats and their market share in truck market segments. These forward-looking statements contain all of the qualifications that we're used to and need to see in forward-looking statements. But what we do note is that a lot of the fixed costs of developing Ford's EV truck enterprise have already occurred. The information in Ford's statements is clear. It seems reasonable. And so Ford continues to be a promising prospect as I do my future earnings research. Additionally, it's safe, it provides a dividend, and because we know the electronic vehicle market is growing, there is an expected outlook for growing earnings. So how do I sort all of this out? How do I make my decision? Because financial framework says over and over again, things need to be measurable, they need to be clear, you need to satisfy your intuitive side of your decision-making process, but you also need to be disciplined and objective. So in order to do that, I will apply two sets of maxims to determine whether Ford is a keeper or it's near to being a keeper. The maxims that I will apply will hold my enthusiasm for purchasing Ford stock in check while providing the discipline for me to make an objectively based exceptional investment. One maxim is from Warren Buffett and the other is from Philip Fisher. Buffett, according to the late Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett often starts speeches to MBA students by telling them, "I could improve your ultimate financial welfare by giving you a ticket with only 20 slots in it, so that you had 20 punches representing all the investments that you got to make in a lifetime. And once you'd punch through the card, you couldn't make any more investments at all." Under those rules, Buffett explains, you'd really have to think carefully about what you did and you'd be forced to load up on what you really think about, so you'd do much better. I took that from a CNBC publication that was dated May 28, 2020. Applying that rule means that selecting this investment must be as good as or better than other successful investments I've made. I asked the question, is this choice really that good? Now that I have set the context for a higher level of scrutiny, to answer that question, I will apply two sets of tools recommended by Philip Fisher. During his investment career, Mr. Fisher relied on 1, scuttlebutt, and 2, a checklist of questions to ask of prospective businesses' investments to determine if they were exceptional. The Philip Fisher maxims. Mr. Fisher was well known for having a very selective investment process that focused on choosing a limited number of stocks that he understood very well, and he expected to do well for lengthy periods of time, and he would hold on to them. This strategy worked for him, and it makes sense to me. In his book, Common Sense and Uncommon Profits, published in 1958, Mr. Fisher provided 2 tools that guided his methodology. First, Fisher felt that qualitative information, he called it scuttlebutt, from informal, knowledgeable industry executives, as well as other news sources, provided valuable insight regarding management and a company's prospects. The term scuttlebutt itself is taken from 2 English words, butt, which is a cask or a barrel, and scuttle, meaning opened. That described the drinking water container on 19th century sailing vessels. A scuttlebutt was where sailors got their drinking water on a sailing vessel, and they would gather around and discuss things. Sort of a 19th century water cooler. Mr. Fisher was an omnivorous gatherer of information regarding prospective investments, and he did not discount qualitative information or scuttlebutt. He gathered information about prospective investments from within a company and from its competitors in conversations and interviews. He then relied on his own judgment to assess the accuracy of the opinions and the data that he'd gathered. Mr. Fisher's second useful tool in common stocks and uncommon profits is a 15-point checklist that's found in Chapter 3. I am printing the entire checklist on my website, finframeworks.com, for your consideration. For purposes of brevity and focus in this podcast, I will review and answer the first five questions from Mr. Fisher's checklist. I think they're the ones that are most pertinent to deciding whether a Ford Motor investment is an excellent choice. The other points in the checklist are useful, but these carry the most weight for me in evaluating Ford. So let's go through them. Number one, does the company have products or services with sufficient market potential to make possible a sizable increase in sales for at least several years? The answer to this is yes. In fact, it's the primary reason for considering Ford, because we think there will be increased sales from a particular market segment, EV trucks. Fisher's question number two, does the management have a determination to continue to develop products or processes that will further increase total sales potentials when the growth potentials of currently attractive product lines have largely been exploited? The answer to this question is also yes. They've already demonstrated that determination by aggressively committing capital to the EV truck market development segment. The second part of Mr. Fisher's question regarding already exploited market segments, well, let's say passenger cars, is partially relevant as it applies to other types of automotive vehicles, but this consideration is secondary. The main answer is yes. Question three, how effective are the company's research and development efforts in relation to its size? Ford Motor Company's research and development budget averaged $7.62 billion between 2019 and 2023, approximately 5% of their revenues. Both the total dollar value and the percent of revenues indicate a serious commitment to research and development. The speed with which Ford moved to produce electronic vehicle pickup trucks and actually produce them, they're out there selling right now, indicates that for our purposes, Mr. Fisher's R&D question shows that their efforts are effective. Mr. Fisher's question number four, does the company have an above-average sales organization? The honest answer to this question is I don't know. Following a Charlie Munger principle, I looked for articles that suggested that their sales organization was lousy. Couldn't find anything that said that. Couldn't find anything that said that they were mediocre. So we will assume that it's at least reasonable. I do not know for a fact that they're above average. So I will pass on answering this for now and will come back to it in case I need a tiebreaker. The fifth question, does the company have a worthwhile profit margin? Excellent question. I answered this question by looking at Ford's history for profit margins for the past 10 years, and I found that there were some margins in the 13 to 15 to 16% range. And then I looked at their forward-looking statements in their most recent earnings call. Ford's most recent 10Q indicated a current profit margin of 2.74%. So the question for me to resolve is, do I think that Ford's profit margin will jump from 3% to 10% or 15% quickly? And is it likely to stay there? Because I want this to be a really good investment. This is where an accurate crystal ball would be really helpful. Guess what? There isn't one. So I continued reading, and I find that the headwinds for electronic vehicles have been increasing in the last 6 months in the form of slower sales to individuals and fleets, potentially higher costs. So with those headwinds, my next question is whether this is a temporary situation or could it continue for a longer period of time? 3 quarters, a year, 2 years. I will be conservative and assume that the headwinds will last a while, that inflation will go down, but slowly, and that earnings will not grow as fast as was once anticipated. I believe in general that EV truck sales will grow, but I'm uncertain as to when and at what rate. That is a concern for me, specifically with regard to Ford's future earnings. Consequently, I look at Ford as a solid stock and one in which EV trucks will be important to their future and to their growth, but that the future growth earnings cloudiness eliminates it, as one of my 20 Warren Buffett punch card stock purchases. The feelings associated with that are mixed, but I am grateful to Philip Fisher for creating a set of questions that I can walk through and apply one by one in a very clear and disciplined way that counters my enthusiasm for the purchase. Let's apply this to your situation. Here is your practice problem from Financial Frameworks. Conduct the same exercise that we have done with Ford Motor, but limit your research to an hour and take some notes. Don't spend a huge amount of time on the upfront work. You will take the notes because you want to review your thinking. So here's the process. Select a prospective investment. Number two, check out margin of safety. Number three, be satisfied with current earnings. Number four, estimate projected earnings. Number five, apply the Buffett maxim. Is this exceptional? Number six, read some materials, say from Yahoo Finance or Reuters or any of the research pages from the brokerage firm that you use. Look for general information. Talk to some friends about the stock. Develop some scuttlebutt. Then, after you've done that, walk through Philip Fisher's checklist. Number seven, write down how the prospective investment fares for each point. Number eight, pay attention to how you're thinking and feeling about the stock and make some notes, just as I did when I went through Ford. As I said, when I concluded my review, I was a little disappointed that I wasn't buying it, but I couldn't argue with the fact that 2.74% for a current profit, which is likely in the near term, doesn't meet my stock purchase criteria. Please note, even an abbreviated practice run through this process will give you a feel for how the process of testing an investment for superiority works for you. Because you have simulated, even in a cursory or a quick fashion, a specific decision-making drill, you will be able to apply this process, how you went through it, you'll think about it, and sense whether it resonates with your decision-making style. Again, Financial Frameworks' focus is on producing solid results while you're learning about the process so that you are getting better at investing. Thank you for visiting Financial Frameworks and listening to this podcast. Please feel free to mention how it has been helpful to you and share it with your colleagues and associates. I'll see you next time. Mike Lehan, Financial Frameworks.